Oil executives are getting some tough questions from Congress.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Putnam Investments, focused on finding opportunities one stock at a time on the web at putnam.com/largecapequity.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The CEOs of the five biggest American oil companies are on Capitol Hill today, testifying before the Senate Finance Committee. Now, they're getting grilled by Democrats, especially about the price of gas and the company's reliance on tax breaks. Marketplace's David Gura reports.
The companies are on track to pull record profits this year, and some senators say they don't need the tax breaks they get from the federal government. John Watson is the CEO of Chevron. He told senators, quote, "Don't punish our industry for being successful."
If our nation's concern is keeping investments here at home and ensuring reliable, affordable energy for all Americans, then what we ask for here is what we look for anywhere we invest. Conditions that are not punitive and discriminatory, but stable, transparent, and equitable.
He said that if Congress changes the tax code, it would be harder for the companies to invest in American energy and to compete overseas. Democratic Senator Jay Rockefeller told Watson and the other CEOs from BP, ConocoPhillips, ExxonMobil, and Shell that he thinks they're out of touch.
I don't think you have any idea of what the size of your profits does to the American people's willingness to accept what you have to say.
The executives say eliminating tax incentives for their companies would be discriminatory and that it would do nothing to bring oil prices down. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now. The S&P pretty much flat. The Nasdaq's up about a tenth of a percent. The Dow down a tenth of a percent. 14 points to 12,615. The number of people seeking first-time jobless claims dropped last week by 44,000. The government today said wholesale prices rose last month by 0.8%. And retail sales were up last month by the smallest amount in 9 months. One of the Federal Communications Commissioners is leaving her appointed post at the end of June. Why is that news? Because Meredith Atwell Baker is going on to a government affairs job at Comcast Cable. Comcast just recently finalized its purchase of entertainment giant NBC Universal, a purchase that Baker voted for as a commissioner of the FCC. Let's talk a little bit about the questions that are raised with the move and whether anyone should be concerned about it in the first place. Eliza Krigman is technology reporter for Politico Pro, and she's joining us now from Washington. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
You got it. So this commissioner was very involved in the Comcast and NBC Universal merger as far as pushing it through a few months ago. She's now leaving the FCC to become a lobbyist for Comcast?
Yes, that is correct. She cannot lobby the FCC for a period of 2 years, but it certainly has raised eyebrows from some people. Free Press came out with a very hard-hitting statement, characterizing it as too cozy of a relationship between the regulators and the entities that they're regulating, as well as Congresswoman Maxine Waters, who was a perennial critic of the Comcast-NBC merger, who said it exemplifies also this unsavory relationship between the two.
But to be sure, there's no accusation of malfeasance. I mean, it's just her leaving one organization and going to another.
There is no accusation. However, people are suggesting as much. I think, on the other hand, she is extremely well-respected, and some would argue that after 7 years of government experience, one should be able to have the opportunity to move into industry and explore other opportunities without it being frowned upon. The issue is that that expertise you developed is within the industry you're regulating. I think it's an issue for all industries, not just telecommunications.
Now, this is common, though, right? I mean, we see this on both sides, someone going from regulator to the regulated or vice versa, right?
Yes, this is absolutely common. And I think it also exemplifies the struggle President Obama has on his hand to, quote, stop the revolving door. It's very difficult when people are building their expertise and their relationship in those fields, and that's where the job opportunities are.
Eliza Krigman, technology reporter for Politico Pro. Eliza, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Comer Science and Education Foundation, dedicated to supporting innovative programs making a positive impact on the lives of individuals and communities.
British fashion designer John Galliano will go on trial June 22nd for allegedly making public anti-Semitic insults. He lost his high-profile job at French fashion house Dior after being caught on film earlier this year praising Adolf Hitler. But does Galliano's downfall signal an end to all those ostentatious designers who have dominated the fashion world? The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports.
McQueen, Lagerfeld, Galliano, all big names as well known for their flamboyant style as for their extravagant designs. But when Sarah Burton was revealed as the designer of the royal wedding dress, few people had even heard of her. Tony Glenville is creative director at London College of Fashion. He says there's been a big shift in the attitude of the luxury fashion houses towards their top designers.
It's interesting that the names being bandied around for replacement at Dior are quieter designers, designers who do not make themselves social butterflies and not on the front of everything, and are not always ready to be interviewed.
And having quieter, younger designers who just get on with the job doesn't seem to be doing the labels any harm.
People are looking on fashion less as show business and more as what it should be, which is about clothing people and doing a very good job at it.
If Galliano's found guilty, he could face a year in jail and a $30,000 fine. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
And finally, we've heard all about the Ponzi schemer Bernie Madoff's lavish lifestyle. What he didn't spend a whole lot of money on, apparently, was wine and spirits. U.S. Marshals are planning to sell Madoff's wine collection. One auctioneer tells Bloomberg, judging by his stash, Madoff was not the wine connoisseur. A lot of the liquor he owned was 2-ounce bottles of vodka and gin, and the auctioneer said it looked like he raided a bunch of mini bars. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Zyrtec, Zyprexa, Zyvox. Drug names, of course, difficult to pronounce, difficult to understand, and in desperate need of a vowel.
It's getting to be a little bit like the Slovak language, difficult to pronounce, difficult to deal with.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the big business of naming drugs. We'll have the day's headlines as well and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.